When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Dish. I want to make sure that I've got everyone's mics on. Ellie is producing us today. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning.
Ellie, for those of you that don't know, Ellie Johnson is my daughter. She is here producing the show today. I probably didn't need to tell people that, but I feel like if we get weird and like personal, then they'll understand why.
Well, you've already made it weird and personal with that comment, but thank you. Hey, always appreciate a shout out. Love the airtime.
Yeah, exactly. Also, we are here with Zoe Francois. It's her inaugural journey. She is filling in for Steph March today, who is traveling. And if you're not following her at Stephanie March, oh my gosh, on the Instagrams, her Mexico City journey, the places she's going, the food she's eating, it's stunning.
The food and the flowers, you know, you forget this time of year that other places have the color and the flowers and it is gorgeous.
And you're an original Vermonter, aren't you?
I am.
So when I say stick season, you know what that is.
I do. In fact, there is a song
Noah Kahan's
stick season.
Yeah. And I looked it up.
It's a thing.
Because I was like, what is stick season?
It's right before mud season.
Which we don't really have here, but I feel like we do have stick season because it's after the leaves have fallen before the winter. And then you get it again kind of, I think, in the springtime.
After the snow melts. Yeah.
And
it's a thing.
Here we are. So just to give people, Zoe Francois is an author. She's a very prolific baker. You can follow her at Zoe Bakes on Instagram. You were also my first radio interview. It was like 15. No, yes. It was even longer than that. It had to be like 17 years ago.
We were each other's first. You were the first person to interview us on our book tour, very, very first book tour.
And Artisan Bread and Five is the first book series that Zoe did with Jeff Hertzberg. And I thought it was funny. I was watching you the other day. Maybe it was on YouTube. And you were like, hey, for those of you that don't know, because a lot of people came to your Instagram later on in life as Instagram blew up, and you're so great at pastry, people are following all the pastry things. But you were like, I also have this little bread thing I did over here. And I was like, wow, because you had, is it five books of bread?
Eight.
Okay, yeah. I mean, at some point I lost track. There were so many.
Yeah, me too.
So Artisan Bread and Five is this idea that you can simply make a giant batch of bread that can ferment in your refrigerator over the course of weeks, and that creates the rise. And each day you can like pull off a hunk and fashion it into a loaf of new, fresh, unique breads.
Absolutely. You got it.
What was so cool about that book was it was like so revolutionary at the time because bread wasn't really in fashion yet again.
You have to remember, this is way back in the days where Atkins diet was like reigning supreme. And then all of a sudden, everybody realized Atkins isn't really the way to go. And people were intimidated by bread and making bread. Nobody was making bread.
Pre-sourdough
craze.
Nobody
was even eating bread.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right, of course. I mean, during the pandemic, everybody started making sourdough. It was like maybe one of the brilliant silver linings of a terrible time.
Yeah, I think for sure.
Was that people were diving into this craft that I love so much.
I will say, too, just literally 2 days ago, a friend of mine was like, hey, I've got a pizza oven. What would you recommend for pizza dough? I'm like, well, of course, Artisan Bread and Five.
Oh, awesome.
It is just the most friendly dough. It is something you can keep in your refrigerator.
Yeah.
When you feel like you're kind of tired of it or you're getting to the end of your batch, you can freeze the dough balls for pizza dough.
Yeah.
It's just super versatile and really easy to use. So we should put a link up for your original book on the show page.
We call it the gateway recipe into bread baking because it's so easy. You just dump it and stir it. There's no kneading. So, I mean, anybody can do this bread. You don't have to start with sourdough. You can start with a simple bread, and it's amazing bread.
Yeah, it's
even
super
though it's
great.
So easy.
And then you had another book years later that was the same book, but all gluten-free.
Yes.
That was an amazing feat that you could do that.
That book almost took me down.
It looked so hard to figure out all the different flours.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it was before there was so much on the market for gluten-free. The gluten-free breads that were available to people were so sad.
Yeah.
It was just depressing. And it was so wild because I was a pastry chef for years before I got into writing these books. I had never heard of celiac or gluten-free anything as a pastry chef. And then all of a sudden we wrote this book and we started getting requests for it. And we realized how big this was going to be.
Yeah.
And so that book was really came out of necessity from readers writing in and saying, love the bread, but I can't do gluten anymore. Yeah. So anyway, it was fun. It was a challenge, but man, getting those flours just right, that was work.
Okay. So that leads
us up. Not for the bakers. Right.
Which leads us up to the big news that you dropped yesterday. I was like, well, this is an awesome coincidence.
I know.
If you want to share your latest.
Yeah. When you asked me to do this show, I did not even know that we would be dropping. I have a new cookbook that I just announced yesterday. It will be coming out this fall called Zoe Bakes Cookies. And this, I have to say, this has been a book that maybe should have come first in my lineup, not 10th, because cookies is really where I got my start. I started a cookie company when I was in college way back in the 80s. And so this is just something that's so near and dear to me. It's like part of my heart and soul are cookies. And here's this book. It's been, this book too was such a journey because I learned things about myself through cookies that I had no idea. It became a bit of a memoir. Even like the chapters are different cookies through the different stages of my life. I call it my era's tour of cookies.
That's excellent.
I wonder if I can get sued for that. But yes, and there will be a soundtrack.
I love that. Yes, because if you watch Zoe's videos, she's always dancing and you have a great love of music.
You've got to move. Yeah.
So the cookies, I was going to be like, okay, you're in Syracuse for territory.
Yeah.
You're in Dory Greenspan territory, like these Rose Levy, Birnbaum, like these really cookie books that are like Bibles.
Yeah.
Is that intimidating or was it exciting?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I think for bakers, you know, we all have our own recipes, our own spin, our own style on things. So I love all of those books and everybody should have all of them. My book is very different because it takes into consideration, like I said, all of my history with baking and my own personal history. I have recipes from my grandmother's recipe box. I have recipes from my bubby's letters that she sent me.
Sweet.
Yeah. Home ec class. I mean.
Oh, I love this. This is going to be great. More personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think all of us bakers bring our own personal journey into them. So, yeah. I mean, the more the merrier.
I'm going to put a pre-order link on the show page because pre-orders for cookbooks are like amazing and where it's at.
Yeah.
They like dictate how much marketing they're going to put towards your book based on how many people pre-order.
That's right. And what bookstores will carry it. And it really, you know, it really matters.
Yeah,
the pre-orders, as you well know. Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. It's going to be coming out. You'll get your copy in September, but you can pre-order it now.
Yes.
I will put a link up on the show page. We have a great show coming up. We're going to get to know more about Zoe. We've also got Monet Sable from Chanhassen's Beautiful, the Carole King story, the musical. She's going to be here. She's a cook and she is so gorgeous in that performance. And we're also just going to do some dribs and drabs. We're going to talk about the James Beard Awards. You're listening to The Weekly Dish. We'll be right back. I'm Stephanie Hansen, and these are my Closet Factory Closet Chronicles. Liz, we are seeing a lot of new projects for the springtime. How about your garage?
Absolutely. Let's put away the shovels that we didn't even have to use this winter. We're going to build you custom storage in your garage up off the floor so you don't have to worry about the wetness or the salt. We're going to build you a custom bike rack. We're going to get your kids' toys off the floor. At Closet Factory, we are going to solve your garage problems.
My husband is going to be so happy when he considers that he can have a clean garage for all his tools and all of his stuff, and I can put away my gardening things. I'll be so happy.
We're going to give you a dedicated spot for everything that was currently on the floor.
Let's make
your garage a meaningful space.
Let's do it. Call Closet Factory now and save $500. So go to closetfactory.com, and when you call, let them know that Stephanie sent you so you can save $500 on any of your Closet Factory dream projects. I feel like I need to do a small confession about my feelings about Beyonce.
Ugh, God. No one wants to hear it.
Spoken like a daughter of a mother. No, Ellie, I have been pretty critical of Beyonce over the years. She's not my favorite.
I'm not even going to say some of the things that you've previously said because you don't deserve that hate mail.
Okay, wow. Thanks, Ellie. That's really kind
really
of you.
Really critical about musical artists you don't like.
I was critical about her in particular for reasons that have to do more with, I think she's an incredible performer, but I didn't feel like she was on the same level as like a Taylor Swift because I didn't feel like she really says much or controls the narrative. It just feels like she's performing like almost like a Diana Ross would perform for Berry Gordy is kind of how I felt about it.
Wow.
I think the album Lemonade caused like an incident at the cabin one evening.
I think
we were yelling.
Probably.
Now, this is amazing.
So here's my confession, Ellie.
Wow.
I feel like this Cowboy Carter is so personal, such a statement by her, so crafted by her in its execution of trying to put a stake in the ground and say that country just isn't for middle-aged.
It's also a testament to her place in the industry with all these collaborations and the excitement
and
of the
artists. And that song with Miley Cyrus
with
in particular is unbelievable.
Really good.
And her redoing of Jolene was great. The Blackbird, I really feel like, wow, I didn't get her and I was wrong. And this album is amazing.
Well, I've always been a fan and continue to
be a fan. I think you've danced in the kitchen to her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
We talked about, so you've had all these books, Zoe. I want to tell people about your YouTube because that's kind of newish.
Sure
you
is.
Did the TV show with Magnolia and that has completed.
Yep.
Three seasons of that, which were super excellent. And Steph March was in a lot of the episodes if you want to go back and check them out. So you get done with that, and now the next thing is YouTube. And tell me why that was a platform that you were excited about.
Well, I've been meaning to do YouTube for at least a decade. I was told, like, basically the minute I got onto Instagram that I should be putting everything on YouTube because Instagram is a little bit flaky. I love Instagram.
I mastered it too.
I love it. I mean, my community on Instagram is like everything. I love those people. But putting your content there is a little iffy and you don't own anything and you can't do long form anything. And what I've discovered over the time is I really like to teach people how to bake. And you can't do that in a 15 to 30 second
tutorial.
So I decided I was going to do YouTube. And then the show took over, the show and the books. And I just didn't have time to do it. And so once I wrapped up Zoe Bakes on Magnolia, I had some time. And I said, okay, let's just do it. And I've been promising... I'm part of this group called the Lady Brainers, and we encourage each other to do, you know, new business ventures, and I promised them I would do it. So I finally did. I love it, and it is crazy, and it's me and a camera, and my husband is editing, which is hilarious. But it's a very, very different scene than having 20 people in my house making a show. It's just me and a couple of cameras on a pole. And I love it. I think it's, you know, you're going to get the real me. There's no hair and makeup.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
just, I really enjoyed it. You've had an Ask Me Anything question yeah. series.
Yep.
You've had like, I think, didn't you have a whole series like about butters?
Yes. I'm doing a lot of the tips and techniques that people ask me about, the little like things that people get hung up on and feel like they're intimidated by baking. The question and answers really came from my Substack mm-hmm. because that's the other love of my life is my newsletter.
Mine too. And I'm so surprised that I love it as much as I do.
I know. And it's so, these new things are so incredible. And it's because I have time. Like I never really had time before to like dive into the things that I love so much. But I have a question and answer on my newsletter. And then I go to YouTube and I do it instead of trying to like explain in a newsletter. I just do a video about it.
So you can follow your YouTube at Zoe Bakes.
That's right.
Stephanie's Dish has a YouTube too that I started almost about like a week after you did.
I think basically right at the same together. Time. Yeah.
Full disclosure, Zoe and I share a background person named Stephanie also, coincidentally, that helps us with our SEO and with idea generation and helps us just keep all of our stuff organized and out there.
She basically keeps me sane.
Yes. So that's for you, Bloomy, if you're out there listening.
Yes, we love you, Bloomy.
Both have Substacks, and Substack is a subscription-based newsletter that you control the content. You control what you write. You control the names. It really gives the writer a lot of flexibility. I have a free version, as do you. Mm-hmm. I also have a paid version that you can upgrade and you get exclusive content. For me, I do like special contests. I do different recipes that aren't on my website or aren't things that I put out in the public. I'll give a little behind the scenes on recipes I'm working on for books.
Yep. Same. I really started my newsletter as a support to the show because, as you know, you have guests on your show and they maybe get 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes.
And so I wanted a place where I could do a deep dive on those guests and really tell their story, do an interview. They always shared a recipe. And so that's really where the newsletter came from. And then I just got obsessed with it.
It's like when I'm during the week and I read something or hear something or see something and I'm not going to get a chance to talk to Stephanie about it.
Yeah.
Because that would be my first stop. I like bookmark it and just leave it in the newsletter in an ideas page. Yeah. And then when I get there, Sunday mornings, I get up at 6 o'clock. I get my hot cup of coffee. I sit in my robe and I type, type, type. And my husband gets up about 7:30 and he's like, "You working on your newsletter?" I'm like, "Yes." It's become a ritual that I really enjoy.
Yeah, and I love those posts that you do, your Sunday wrap up.
Yep, just kind of like more personal things.
It's
sometimes
great.
I want to talk about movies. Sometimes I want to talk about books. And, you know, you don't really have like a platform. People don't come to Weekly Dish to listen to that, although Stephanie and I spread our wings there too. speaking of spreading wings, can we just talk quickly? The James Beard finalists came out. And Aura by Nixta, which is a fairly new restaurant, was nominated for Best New Restaurant, which puts them in the category, both Gustav and Katie Romero, who are a married couple, puts them in the category on the national scene.
Yeah.
Have you been?
Okay, so I have not yet, but I have a funny story about him. One day, this was like 2020, I walked out to get my mail, and there was a bag sitting on my porch. And I looked in the bag and it was a plastic bag full of dough, just dough, no note, no nothing. And I'm like, what is this? And it was clearly masa. And this was when Stephanie Meyer was renting a place from me. Well, it turns out that Gustav had dropped off some dough for her to make tortillas and hadn't gotten the right porch.
so you stole it.
So I had this mystery dough that I had a lot of fun with and it was delicious. But I didn't know anything about it. So that was hilarious. And so they have gone on to build just incredible things. So I've had his food, but I have not been to Aura yet.
All right. So we're going to give you the rundown on the James Beard Award winners. We've got a great show coming up. We've got more guests, more dribs and drabs, more with Zoe Francois. You're listening to The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. We'll be right back.
How does a Minnesotan boatin', floatin', never gloatin', start a journey seeking a better well-being to improve his health and brain with $10 to his name?
At the YMCA.
Enrollment's 10 bucks, no dues till May. He's gotta spend that Hamilton. Gotta spend that Hamilton. No dues till May. No dues till May. Today, spend that Hamilton. Join the Y at YMCANorth.org.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Okay, I'm going to start the show with another obscure music reference. That's a song called Stand By Me with Morgan Wallen, who also has a single with Post Malone, who's also in the remake of the Patrick Swayze movie Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor.
Which they didn't promote at all, weirdly.
It's kind of enjoyable in a gross, like, oh, wow, did we need this remake way? But it's entertaining and kind of funny.
I can't believe that we're talking about this and that I'm about to admit that I really enjoyed it.
So
it was so entertaining.
Yeah, and my husband really loved it too. So
I was going to go really through life with that as a secret, and now here I am on the radio.
That's the way this goes, Zoe.
Jake Gyllenhaal himself said he was really annoyed because it was supposed to be like a fun return to kind of a fun movie. It was supposed to be a little silly, and then the production company like kind of wussed out and then didn't really promote it at all, even though they had Conor McGregor in his first acting role.
Yeah, and Post Malone's in it.
Yeah.
Which is also, what can't Post do?
Yeah. Both of them. Yeah. They were great. They were hilarious.
And good.
I mean, hilarious in the most brutal, gruesome way.
Yeah, like, it is real gross. Yeah, like, ultimate fighting, Ellie knows. Like, my favorite is, like, when you go to a restaurant and you're like sitting down for your cheeseburger on a Saturday afternoon and you happen to look up and they have ultimate fighting on where people are just smacking each other in the face. It's not even boxing either. They're kicking, they're clawing. I'm like, okay, I cannot watch this and eat a meal. No.
I know. I thought we'd come on and I'd talk about like Babette's Feast or something, not like the Roadhouse Terrors.
Well, yeah, that's funny you mentioned that because my husband's a writer. Kurt Johnson is his name, and him and Ellie co-wrote a book called The Barons that was the Minnesota Book Award winner in the last year. And he's writing more books and has published some more books. He's got a Substack that he just started, speaking of Substack, called Kurt Johnson Books. And it's free. You can follow it. He mostly talks about his life. It's a kind of memoir-y about growing up in Las Vegas as an adult man.
Wow.
Growing up is what I mean. Yeah, he got there at 22 and decided to finally grow up. Yeah, his last one was about all the jobs he's been fired from.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. And all the cocaine he snorted. So that was also... And his mom called me and she was
that
like...
That is
Did
amazing.
You know? I was like, well, yeah, eventually I knew. But just... He's got this idea, and I think we're going to do it. Oh, and this is the first time I've said this out loud, so this is the confessional.
Yeah.
I think we're going to book together that might, like, have recipe content and be like...
We just went to lunch this week, and he spent almost that entire time telling me, like, his pitch for this and talking about this idea.
I think he's really excited about it. Kind of so like an Under the Tuscan Sun sort of...
Yes.
Thing with travel and then writing, I'll write the recipes and
Graham and I have such complementary skills, but we both want to be boss.
Well, so do we.
And so it's really, it's been challenging in the past. I mean, he's designed my website and he's probably the most talented person that I know, but he likes doing the background stuff. Well, he's editing my videos And we are having a blast. Well, I can't speak for him, but I am having a blast. And he's such a good collaborator. It's been a steep learning curve. But our marriage is solid still. It's been 35 years, and I think it's going to last through this experience.
That's sort of how we're at that point, too. And we had a business together for 12 years. So that was, that we got through that. I feel like we can really kind of get through anything. Okay, so we were talking about the James Beard Award nominees. We had the story about Gustav and Kate Romero. My experience with them was during the pandemic, they were running this taco shop kind of out of their place. And they were making these beautiful nixtamalized tortillas that they were selling in co-ops around town that were heritage corn. Yeah, and
that's the dough I got.
Oh, they were just the most beautiful tortillas. And I was like, oh, I have to go and get these tacos. So I go and there's this so pregnant lady. It was Kate. And she was like, literally, I was, you know, you don't ask pregnant people questions, but I always do because I'm that weird person. So Ellie's laughing. So I'm like, so when do you do? She's like, well, technically yesterday. Oh. I was like, oh, so it could happen right this second as you're handing me this bag of warm tortillas. Just such a great couple. Yeah. So fun.
Yeah. So
they
lovely.
Are in really serious company, so it's going to be challenging for them to win, I think, but I'm rooting for them.
Yeah,
we also have some nominee in Best Chef Midwest. We have two, and it's the only women in the category, which is fun. We have Anna Med from Kaluna, and we have Christina Wynn from Hi Hi and Ola Arepa. And
they're
have you been watching?
It.
Yes.
They're just killing it.
Have you been watching Anne Ahmed's Instagram?
Yes.
Speaking of, she traveled back to Laos and she's been all over East or Southeast Asia.
But it's like, it is no surprise to me because you walk into her restaurants and she takes you on a journey.
For
like
sure.
The second you walk in, she has thought of the design. Her aesthetic is just gorgeous. And so her traveling, of course, is the same. And I mean, I just want to go everywhere with this one.
Yeah, for sure. And when you think about like her first restaurant was Lemongrass in Brooklyn Park. And then the second was Lat 14, which it's an old like Baker Square or something.
Yes,
so there's not much you can do.
From the outside, it feels like that.
Yeah, with an old Baker Square. Mm-hmm. She's done a great job on the inside. But you can kind of still tell it's a suburban old Baker Square.
Yeah.
This restaurant and certainly Kaluna too.
Kaluna, yeah.
Guy Noy is the one I'm thinking of on Loring Park.
Yep.
It just has this otherworldly feeling. Like you feel like you're not in the Twin Cities. You feel like you're somewhere else.
You feel like you're somewhere else, but it is so like inviting and sophisticated and elegant. Even though, you know, Guy Noy is... can get kind of raucous.
Yeah,
you know?
It's sort of street foodie.
Yeah, it's
there's
very
no reservations.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of why I love it.
Yeah.
You know, the way that I eat from before the pandemic and now is very different. Before the pandemic, we ate out probably 5-6 times a week.
Yes.
And it was everything from fine dining, destination dining to burgers, cheeseburgers, and pizza and chicken. Now we're primarily cooking. And partly because of the cookbooks, but just because we're just cooking a lot. My husband's having more and more allergy issues, which I can control by cooking at home.
Right.
But when we go out, it's either one of two things. It's a super intentional celebratory, or we're going out with couples, or there's some event we're celebrating. So that I will spend more money on, and it's a little higher end probably.
Yep.
And then it's the last minute. I've cooked all week. I'm so done with cooking. Like last night, we just were like, where are we going to go? We ran to Red Cow. And I wanted to go to the one on Hennepin because they've just put Hennepin down to one lane over near 26th. And
I tried to fight that, but it just...
A lot of people did. And we're just trying to support that corridor and those restaurants. Yep. I mean, as if Uptown hasn't had enough trauma. Yeah. Let's help those folks. But it's just different in the way that you eat out. And when I think about going to a Guy Noy, going to an Ola Arepa, it's the kind of place I want to eat because it's not food I can just cook at home.
Absolutely. And also their flavors are so incredible, intense. And like you said, they're not things that you typically do at home. Both of those women, Christina, too. I mean, Christina was on my show and she brought a sweet potato with a lime tofu dip and her coconut chili crunch on it. And it looked kind of unassuming. The whole crew was bananas.
Yeah.
It was the most flavorful, delicious thing. Maybe that's on the show. Wait, I probably shouldn't say that.
Well, you know.
But it was just so incredible. I mean, she just knocks it out of the park with everything. Both of them, because it
is so unassuming, too. Yeah. Like, I have found that when we've gone to, there's restaurant events where there's like 20 stations and chefs have stations. And I always leave those events where she's been there.
Yeah.
And her thing is the thing that sticks with me the most, whatever it is that she cooked. Because it's just this little flavor bomb in whatever way it's presented.
That's right. It just hits right.
So that's the James Beard Award nominations. And sometimes, just like Christina's been nominated a number of times. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's like this, but it almost feels like you have to get nominated X amount of times before they finally call your name, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you won a James Beard?
I haven't. No, I haven't won. I haven't been nominated. I hang out in a circle of very nominated people, which I feel honored to know them. And speaking of James Beard nominations, Diane Mua, whose restaurant is opening today.
Diane's Place in the food building. In Northeast Minneapolis.
And I... on the way over here, I slipped into the parking lot by the loading docks, and she ran out. She had somebody run out with a bag full of pastries from it. And so you and I are here.
Like, it's so crazy, these pastries. So there's a pistachio cream croissant. There's a chocolate croissant. There's an almond croissant that has a pastry cream in there that is the most ethereal, delicious thing I've ever eaten.
It is so, they're all, well, first of all, I'm going to post some pictures of these things.
Yeah,
because
will.
Diane is the most talented baker that I know. I mean, I'm always in awe of her. When I started my show, she was the very first person I approached. She creates magic, and I am just so thrilled for her that she has her own place, that she's doing everything, you know, that comes to her, and, you know, she's putting her heart and soul and everything into these things, and they are gorgeous and delicious. So I asked her, you know, to give us a couple of pastries, and of course we ended up with like a dozen, and we're putting a really good mark on these things.
And they're all just so delicious.
So beautiful.
Congratulations to her. The whole restaurant is her take on Hmong food, but it's so much more than that because, you know, she's, second generation or first generation?
Yeah.
I think she's second.
Yeah, I think so too. But she's also classically trained in French pastry. So that combination of things, her technical, you know, prowess is just second to none. And then she adds her own, you know, love to everything.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so wonderful to see all of these people just
killing it. It's awesome.
It's so awesome. Our town is so lucky.
Yes.
I don't know that people get how lucky we are. When I first moved here like 30 something years ago, there were a couple of restaurants that we could be really proud of. And now it's just, I feel like every week something new and fabulous is opening up. And it's just, it really needs to become a destination.
I think so too. We're going to go ahead and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Closet Factory because Liz Dahl is here and she helped me do my closet. It's done. So we're going to talk about the reveal when we come back. You're listening to The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. Welcome back to The Weekly Dish. I'm Stephanie Hansen here with Zoe Francois from Zoe Bakes. She's filling in for Steph March, who's traveling this week. Steph will be back with you next week. And we have Liz Dahl, who you probably hear about if you're a My Talker, because I'm always talking about designer extraordinaire Liz from the Closet Factory. Hey. Hi, Liz.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, so I wanted to have you on so we can circle back because the closet is done.
The closet's done.
It's blue.
It is blue.
Which is not even like my color, but it really works so well with the existing color that was like cream and taupe. Yes. I hate taupe. Like, I think taupe is just the worst color in the world.
It's coming back, actually.
It is.
Oh. It's coming back.
I know it's good in homes because it's sort of neutral, but it just makes me feel depressed. So I had this very beautiful, like, bathroom closet space, but it was all taupe. And there's some of it I just can't change because it's not practical. It was almost brand new when we bought the house. But I just would get bummed out. Mm-hmm. And I'd stand in my glass shower and look at my closet that was a completely disorganized mess. And when my talk approached me and they're like, would you ever consider? I was like, would I ever? Yes, let's do it.
I know, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so Liz came and we met and we... And the blue is a really beautiful color blue. Mm-hmm. And then we have like, I have a little desk in there that I put flowers on. So when I'm standing in my shower, it sounds weird to put flowers in your closet, but I just get like cheerful in the morning. Yeah. I have a little clock. I have a little saying board. I have all of my boots, which I wear boots in the summer too, so I can see them all. All my bags. My bags are like my children. They're all there. Ellie's over there just laughing at me because... Like, this has really made me feel so organized and peaceful and just joyous, honestly.
Mm-hmm. One of the nice things about getting organized is not only are you going to feel peaceful, but it's going to save you time in the morning because you can see all of your things. And I have to say, Stephanie's closet was so fun to work in because all of her clothing items somehow coordinated perfectly. Like, there was a handbag that matched cool boots for everything.
Yes, like, I'm a handbag and boot person.
Like, totally. And all the tall boots that we hung from really cool boot clips on a rod, which is kind of like a cool way to display your things and to be able to access them easily. It's kind of almost like an art installation.
Yeah, and it feels like that. And like you guys were like, okay, do you want new hangers? I was like, no, why do I need new hangers? I have these plastic hangers, they're fine. And they're like, well, you probably want new hangers. Like, it'll just work better and they'll all be the same and it'll be uniform. And I was like, fine, okay. And now I'm so glad I got the hangers.
Yeah.
Like, everything is just, it's like color coordinated when I'm getting dressed in the morning or like, okay, I everyone's busy, right? I'm a busy person too. And being on TV and having to decide what to wear every day,
it's a thing.
Is brutal.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
And especially
thing.
As a woman. So I've got it down to a uniform and I've got 8 versions of the same thing in different colors. Having them all there with my aprons, with all the stuff, like I can get ready to do TV in 5 minutes because I need to spend the other 30 minutes packing up the sliced onions and all of that stuff. It's a lot to remember.
That's brilliant. You're going to love this. I had a metal rolling rack that I would put all of my clothes for the show on.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. It's not matching hangers. I mean, you need to have a party in your closet.
Oh, I probably should.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we had a little party. But we
did. We had a little reveal. Right now we're hearing a lot of like garage reorganization and kind of spring cleaning. I also want to encourage people that are cooks that are listening to this show, organizing like your spices or your kitchen. Can you talk a little bit about pantry organization and what people are seeing or doing, or are there trends?
Yes. So I love pantries. I have a passion for pantries. I'm a mom of 3 boys. And so I'm making meals regularly, but also quickly, right?
Because
they're all in a million sports and everything's got a time limit. So some things about pantries. If you organize your pantry in a way that makes sense to you, it's going to save you time, just like how organizing any space will. Here's some misconceptions. In pantries, we think we need these really, really deep shelves. We actually don't. That's how stuff gets lost
and
in that
way
back corner. That's how, like, you know, something gets spilled and you don't realize it and you're like setting bins and all of a sudden you have like this mess you didn't even know about. So sometimes when we look at pantries, it's not about like how deep do we want to make these shelves? It's how organized do we want to make them? Let's dedicate some spots to specific items. So, for example, cookie sheets and cupcake sheets and cake pans.
You're speaking those can my be, language.
Yes, and those can be stored vertically, mm-hmm. right? So we can build vertical slots in your pantry that are dedicated to all of that stuff. So there's no more like grabbing the pan on the bottom and everything falls out of your cupboard.
Yeah. Yes.
And same thing for like cans. Let's build you a pull-out tray so you can have cans that go front to back, but you're never like searching through and then finding that mm-hmm. can of cream of mushroom soup in the very
just
back
like
corner.
That simple, like knowing these are the tomatoes, these are the beans. Because of the amount of cooking that I'm doing, like all that stuff is just time saving. And spices.
The spices are always the issue because mm-hmm. every time mm-hmm. I want a spice, and that's pretty much daily, mm-hmm. I have to go through either all of the jars or all of the bags because I buy them in big quantities and they're in baskets. So they look kind of pretty, but they're totally disorganized.
Yeah.
And so like, do you have a method? Because I almost have to take every jar out of the cabinet to find the one. And it's always the last one.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Of course.
I have a door, and on the inside mm-hmm. of the door is a metal aluminum sheet.
Yes.
And then I have the round spices that attach, and they're alphabetized.
I love that.
People, like, when I open that door, they're like, oh my God, look at that. That's amazing. If I didn't have that, I would go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's new. Like, I did that within the last couple of years, just when I started cooking so much, because I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things whenever we're building custom storage.
We're getting a wrap up. We're going to take you. We'll go on the other side here just to get you real quickly. I know you got to run to your kids' game, but we'll get your spice tip on the other side of the weekly dish. We'll be right back.